This week's parsha begins Chumash Shmois, which tells us about the Jewish people going down to Egypt. And it begins by saying these are the names of the sons of Yaakov Avinu who went down to Mitzrayim, and it lists all their names. Then it says that there was a total of 70 nefesh, and Yosef was already in Egypt. Firstly, the fact that it says that all the people coming from the family of Yaakov Avinu were 70 nefesh, singular, instead of nefoshos, shows us that the way the Torah defines the Jewish people, we're defined as one. Hashem wants us to be one. Just like Hashem himself is one, we say this on Shabbos in the Shmoneh Esrei for Mincha. We say, Ato Echod, V'Shimcho Echod, Umi Kamcha Yisrael Goy Echod Boretz. You, Hashem, are one. Your name is one. And which nation is there in the world that's one nation in the world? We find this in several places in the Torah. The Torah makes a point of listing us as nefesh instead of nefoshah, is singular, to show that this is what Hashem really wants from us and expects from us. And we'll find shortly afterwards, when the Torah begins to tell the story of what's going on with the Jewish people in Egypt, and it says first an Egyptian was fighting with a Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu witnessed this, and he killed the Egyptian. Then the following day it says there was a Jew fighting with a Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu tried to intercede over there. He tried to stop it. And then when they said to him, Mi Samcholish, who made you a boss? Who put you in charge? You're trying to tell us what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ochein noida hadovor. Now I understand. Now I know. And Rashi tells us that the Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I have the answer to a question that was bothering me tremendously. What did the Jews do to deserve to be treated worse than all 70 nations, to have to go through such difficult suffering? But he said, now I see that they deserve it. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu saying those words, Avol roya ani shehem ro'im lekach. I see that they're worthy of this suffering. What makes us worthy of the suffering? When there's fighting between us, when there's a lack of shalom, when there's a lack of ahava, when there's a lack of achdus. And this is why the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, knows this and realizes this. And this is why he puts every effort in the world to try to make machloikis in Klal Yisrael on all levels, whether it's machloikis ben ish lishtoi between husband and wife, or other machloikis in families, or machloikis ben odom lechaveroi, people disagreeing on issues and not being able to remain close friends, not being able to love each other, to really love each other completely, despite the fact that we disagree. We're allowed to disagree. Two people don't have to see things exactly the same way. The Megillas Eicha, which we read on Tisha B'Av, begins with the words, Eicha Yoshva Vodod Ho'ir Rabosiom. How is it that this city, the city of Yerushalayim, stands alone now? And the Pasuk says, Ho'ir Rabosiom, a city that was originally full with people. Rabosi means roiv, a lot. It had a lot of people in it, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people at the time that were all destroyed. So on these words, Rabosi Bagoyim, the Midrash says, Rabosi Badeos. There are many Jews, there are many opinions. They don't all think alike, and they're not expected to think alike. We're not expected to agree completely. But we are expected that even when we disagree, it shouldn't affect our friendship. It shouldn't affect the way we deal with each other. That we're still able to deal with each other with respect and love. Not to say that if I don't agree with you, then I can't look at you, I can't talk to you, chas v'shalom, or worse, all kinds of terrible things. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu made this statement. Now, the Pasuk, after listing this, after saying that they were 70 nefesh, it says, Ve'yosef hoyo b'mitzrayim. And Yosef HaTzadik was already in Egypt before Yaakov Avinu and the rest of the family came down. The Gemara tells us that Hashem is makdim the refuah to the makor. That even when Hashem has to punish, even when Hashem has to impose suffering on us, he always prepares the cure, the solution, before the problem. And Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos Or HaChaim, Hilchos Hoido, Halacha Vav, paragraph Nun Zayin, Rav Nosson Zal says, here we have a perfect example of this. The Pasuk says that we're going down to Egypt, we're going to be there for hundreds of years, and there's going to be slavery, and on top of that, Egypt is the ultimate center of Tumah, of impurity, of sin, Ervas Oretz. But V'yosef Hoyo B'mitzrayim, Hashem already sent down Yosef HaTzadik first, so we'll be okay. So we're guaranteed that we will survive it, not just survive it, but we have the ability to succeed in the time that we're in Mitzrayim. Why? Rav Nosson Zal explains, because the real definition of golus is atzvus, exile, yerida, going down means going away from simcha, from joy and happiness. Because the top of the top is defined as happiness. There's a pasuk, v'simchas oilam al roisham, eternal joy on their heads. Al roisham, it doesn't say biroisham, in their heads, it says al roisham. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutei Moharan that al roisham refers to the crown. A crown is something that we wear on the head, on top of the head. It sits on top of the head. So that simcha, happiness, is defined as the highest level within holiness, within Yiddishkeit. Simchas oilam al roisham, that's the keser, that's the crown. When we talk about golus, going down, yerida, going down to Mitzrayim, going down to golus, it means we're moving away from this simcha. We're moving away from the happiness, we're moving into depression, sadness. How can we survive this? The answer is, V'yosef Hoyo B'mitzrayim, that Hashem first sent the tzaddik down. What is the tzaddik? The tzaddik is a pillar of simcha. The Torah tells us that Yosef HaTzaddik didn't just go down to Egypt. He was sold as a slave. He was an eved. A slave, slavery, servitude, means again, unhappiness. When a person is under somebody else's authority and they have a yoke upon them, they're told exactly what they can do and can't do, it's only natural for the person to be lacking in joy and happiness. Which person wants that? But the tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik, was zeiche even when he was an eved, when he was working in the house of Potiphar as an eved. The pasuk says, Vayehi Yosef Ish Matzliach, that he was successful. And the Medrash says, what do we mean successful? We mean Shehoyo Mefazes Umarakid. He was successful in maintaining his simcha, Bishlemus. That Potiphar saw what a real tzaddik is all about. A tzaddik is one who, no matter where he is, no matter what he's going through, he wants to keep his connection to Hashem. And he knows that being connected to Hashem means being happy, being sameach. If a person is happy, he's connected to Hashem. If a person lets go of the simcha, the Gemara says in Shabbos that the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit of Hashem, cannot associate with a person when a person is not in a state of simcha shel mitzvah. So here the Torah tells us that Yosef was mefazes umarakeid. Was he normal? Was he sane? A normal person is not dancing and smiling while he's a slave. The answer is, Rav Nosson Zal says, this is another proof that when a person sees that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is trying to pull them down, to try to get them depressed, to try to take them away from happiness, the person has to employ mili d'shtusa. The person sometimes has to do things which don't look so intellectual. It's not mamish avoidas Hashem. He's not just sitting and learning. He's doing something fun, as we find in the case of Dovid HaMelech, the example of Dovid HaMelech, that when he was caught by the Philistines and they recognized him as being their arch enemy, he was the one who killed Goliath, their hero, their hope, this giant that terrorized Klal Yisrael. And Dovid HaMelech was the one who succeeded in killing him, and then they captured Dovid HaMelech, and now they're going to tear him to pieces. What does David HaMelech do? LeDavid b'shanoisoy estamoy lefnei Avimelech. David HaMelech knew that if he tries to act rational, if he tries to act like a mensch, he's finished. What did he do? He made a U-turn. He started acting silly. He's standing in front of Achish Melech Gas, Avimelech. He's standing in front of a king. He knew that the only possible way to save himself is mili d'shtusa. The pasuk says, "Vayisov al dalsoy sashar, vayored rir al zekonoy." He started drooling, dribbling, acting like an idiot. The king said, "We don't have enough mishugoyim here. You brought me another one. Get him out of here. Just get him away from me." Period. And that's what saved David HaMelech's life. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that the Torah is teaching us that when a person finds themselves in such a matzav, in such a situation, where the Yetzer Hara is trying to drag them down away from the simcha, away from the crown, to pull them down into atzvus, into depression, a person has to do whatever is necessary within the framework of kosher. We're not talking about eating treif, violating Shabbos, hurting someone else, making fun of someone. That not. But within the framework of what's kosher, for a person to do mili d'shtusa, something fun, to be able to fight, to hold on to that simcha. That's what Yosef HaTzadik did. He was mefazez umarakid in Potiphar's house, where Potiphar looked at him and said, "This guy's nuts." But this nuts kept him connected to the Shechina. Even though he was in Egypt, even though he was in a house of such a Rosha and a Marshas, Potiphar's a Rosha, his wife is a Marshas, what kept him connected? His connection was his simcha. And this is an incredible message for us to know that we who are in Golus today, we're in exile, which means that the Yetzer is trying to work on each and every single one of us to disconnect us from Hashem, and we have to employ every means that we can. When a person's in a state of moichin de gadlus, when a person is happy and feeling good about themselves, then they can learn Torah, they can daven, they can do mitzvahs, they run with it. But when a person is feeling chas v'shalom very weak, and they see that chas v'shalom, in another minute, they're going to fall into complete depression, the person needs to know that that's an emergency. That's a shas cheirum, where the person has to do something emili d'shtusa to save themselves. And here the Torah tells us that Hashem wanted to ensure that the Jews would not drown in this golus, that they wouldn't lose themselves completely. How did Hashem ensure that? V'yosef hoyo b'mitzrayim. By first sending Yosef HaTzadik down and putting him, making him an Eved, and the Tzadik was able to turn it around completely, he laid a foundation for Klal Yisrael that would last us for hundreds of years in Egypt, that we would never lose that ability to be able to remain connected to Hashem through Simcha, through Mili d'shtusa. The pasuk continues afterwards and then says, Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim. We know that we saw in Chumash Bereshis, in the previous parshios, that Egypt owed Yosef HaTzadik a tremendous debt. He saved the country. The country went through a 7-year famine, and they could have ended up penniless like the rest of the world, without any account, no food, nothing. And Yosef HaTzadik was the one who saved Mitzrayim and saved the world with his Ruach HaKodesh, that he was able to interpret Paro's dream correctly and to be able to give them advance notice that there's going to be 7 years of plentiful, 7 years of famine. And so what? That's normal. Everyone has ups and downs. How are we going to save ourselves from 7 years of famine? The tzaddik was the one who gave the advice, there's a way to make it work. The way to make it work is that during the 7 years of plentifulness, when things are going well, you don't use up everything you have, you put aside in savings, you save money, you put aside. And this way, when you're going through the darkness, the difficult times, you'll have what to carry you through. If when a person is going through good times, they're only doing 80% or 90% or 100%, that's not good enough. That's good enough for the years of success. But what are you going to do, chas v'shalom, when it comes to the years of famine, if when things are going well, a person does double, 200%. He makes sure not just to have what he needs to use, but to have what he needs and to have what to put away for the dark times. Then the person gets through the 7 years of famine. So Yosef HaTzadik was the one who gave this advice and he saved Mitzrayim. You would think that they would remember this. The Pasuk says, Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim. A new king came along, Asher lo yodas Yosef, who didn't know Yosef HaTzadik at all. And the Gemara mentions two opinions. One opinion is Rav and Shmuel. One opinion is that the previous king died, and there's a new king, and the new king, he doesn't remember any. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what happened 100 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 20 years ago, and he doesn't want to know. Another opinion is that it wasn't a new king. It was the same king, but Shenizchatshu Gezeroysov. He made himself like new. He came up with new decrees, forgetting what happened before, brand new. Here again, the Torah is not a history book and it's not a story book. The Torah is not about telling us what happened 2,000 years ago. The word Torah means to teach. Every line in the Torah has to have a message for me. What's the message for me? The Gemara says, in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, B'chol yoim v'yoim yitzroi shel odom mizgaber olav u'mizchadei sholov. That there's an evil inclination, a Yetzer Hara, who's called a king, a melech zokein uksil, he's called in Koheles. He's an old, foolish king. He's old, he's got a lot of experience, thousands of years of experience of working against Klal Yisrael. And he's old because he comes to the person before the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Tov comes to a person at their bar mitzvah, when they're 13 years old. The Eitzahara comes the moment the person is born. So he's called Zokein Uksil. But it's all about foolishness. He tries to get the person to do silly things, foolish things. So Rav Nosson Zal says, the Torah is speaking to me. And it says, Vayokom Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim, that every single day, there's a new king coming at me. The Eitzahara is coming against us, new, with a new bag of tricks. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. And the thing that gives him his strength and his ability is he ignores, he makes believe there's no Yosef. He makes believe there's no tzaddik. Because the Yetzer Hara knows very, very well that as long as there's a tzaddik in the world, and if a person will make a genuine effort to come close to the tzaddik, the Yetzer Hara doesn't stand a chance. There's no chance for success because the tzaddik is the one who has the proper advice and the chizuk, the encouragement to give us, even in the most difficult times, to be able to weather those times and to succeed against the Yetzer Hara. And the tzaddik here, the term tzaddik here, also refers to the tzaddik inside of each and every one of us. Rabbeinu Zal says that a Jew who has a bris milah, a Jew who is circumcised at the age of 8 days old, is a bechinas tzaddik. He has an aspect of tzaddikdom. The pasuk says, "Va'amech kulam tzaddikim." And if a person remembers that at all times, even when the Yetzer Hara tries to make me look at myself in a negative light and focus on my mistakes, on my nefilois, on my aveirois, and my eridois, if I look at the toiv inside of me, the good inside of me, I'll be able to pull myself up and to be able to do more good. The pasuk says, Imru tzaddik ki toiv. The tzaddik is called toiv. So when it says here that the melech chodosh, asher lo yoda as Yosef, the hischachus, the way that the Yetzer Hara comes at us new every single day is, by ignoring the Yosef, ignoring the Nekuda Toiva inside of each and every one of us. But if we choose not to ignore that, if we choose to focus on that, to focus on the good inside of ourselves, and not to let the Yetzer Hara get us to forget that, then a person is able to withstand temptations and the tests, and able to succeed even in the golus, even in the darkness. The pasuk continues, pasuk Yudalid, and it says, "Vayemoraru es chayehem," that the Egyptians embittered the lives of the Jews, ba'avoyda kosha, with hard work, bechomer ubelevenim ubechol avoyda basode, with chomer, with building, forcing them to hard labor, construction, without giving them proper materials, eskol avoydosom asher avdu behem beforech, all kinds of difficult work. And then the pasuk goes on to say that they imposed difficult taxes on the Jews, vayiven orei miskan oislafai, and they forced them to build big cities, huge cities, Pisaim and Ramses. Rav Nosson Zal explains in the Likutei Halachos that this pasuk is defining for us two of the major struggles that Klal Yisrael will have when we're in Golus. We know that the Torah is referred to as the advice and guidance for the Jewish people. The Zohar HaKadosh refers to the 613 mitzvahs as 613 pieces of advice. If a person understands the Torah clearly, then the person knows exactly what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, how to succeed, Baruchnius and Begashmius, both spiritually and even materialistically. The Torah gives clear advice and direction to show a Jew how to succeed in this world. The problem is that when we're in Golus, we're in exile, the Pasuk says, Bechomer ubelevenim ubechol avoyda kosher, that the Torah is in Golus. The Torah is in a state of darkness whereby we're not given the clarity of the Torah that we need to be able to have that advice, that direction. There becomes a problem where it becomes even the people who are studying Torah constantly have a major struggle to be able to extract the right answers and a clear direction to be able to know exactly what should I be doing. Many things are left unanswered or left chas v'shalom in machloikis, in a state of disagreement among the rabbis, and a person has a whole struggle to know that, then, so what do I do? What do I do? That's one of the major problems that's referred to here as bechomer. Chomer refers to chumrois, the difficulties in the Torah. Levenim means bricks. Levenim also means to whiten, to clarify, to bring clarity to the Torah. And then Rav Nosson Zal says that's for the people who are studying Torah. They have their difficulties. Then there's the people who go out to work, who even that could be bearable, could be manageable, if a person is willing to live within their means, within certain norms. But what happens, Rav Nosson Zal says, what happens is that when the Jews are in Golus, we're in exile, and people decide to build Pisaim v'Ramses, people aren't satisfied with having a house. They're not satisfied with having a house that serves their needs. What do I need? I need a kitchen. I need a place to sleep. I need a bed. What do I need? No, a person wants Pisaim v'Ramses. They want huge city, huge homes. They want wealth, even while we're in Golus. And the person doesn't realize that if that's the lifestyle that a person chooses for themselves, then they're going to be occupied and preoccupied with money, and they're not going to even have the ability to set aside a little bit of time for learning Torah, for doing mitzvahs. And again, that's where the Golus, that's where the darkness comes in. Because even when we're in Golus, even when we're in exile, even for those people who are not able to spend full time learning, if they were able to dedicate a few hours a day to studying Torah, to bring light into their lives, to bring joy into their lives, to bring Hashem into their lives, they would be able to be happy. It's when a person imposes on themselves extra things, things that are unnecessary, these excesses, and a person sets the bar much, much higher than what it should be, that's when the person finds themselves in a situation where they're chasing more and more, not satisfied with whatever they have, it's never enough, and then the person can't even find a little bit of time. I mentioned this in the past, that years ago, 30 some odd years ago, I met one of the students of my Rebbe Zichron Avrocha, Rav Rosenfeld. And this student would be called by most people a very successful businessman. And when he came to me to sell his chametz before Pesach, there was a list of a house in Brooklyn, a house in New Jersey, a house in Florida. Businesses, there were 5-6 different businesses, all had to be included in Mechiras Chametz. And wrote down all the things and made the kinyan and everything. And then I said to him, by the way, do you get a chance to go to a class, to a Torah class during the week or so? And he looked at me very sheepishly. He looked embarrassed a little, saying, during the week, not really. Don't have any time at all. On Shabbos, sometimes I'll be able to make it into a Torah class a little bit to hear something. And then this person left, and I started thinking to myself, it's incredible. It's incredible. The person is a multimillionaire. People would look at him as a major success, and he's in chains. He's enslaved. The person doesn't feel that he has the right to allow himself the luxury of taking off an hour, 2 hours a day to say no, to say I don't want business at this point in time. I want to allow myself an hour or two a day to be with Hashem, to be connected to the Torah, to have that privilege. This is what the Torah tells us in advance here, that this is golus. The golus is, chas v'shalom, if a person will not train themselves to set the bar in such a place, to be willing to live with less materialistically and not let go of that necessity of having a few hours a day to be able to go to shul for Shachris Mincha Maariv, have a shir kavua, to have set times that are designated for the study of Torah.